The difficulties in reaching a Middle East settlement have a lot of people talking about how stubborn both sides are. And some have claimed that the problem is partly linguistic, since Arabic doesn't have a word for compromise. To our linguist Jeff Nunberg, those are just old stereotypes wrapped in a new package.
A couple of months ago, the Oxford Dictionary of Quotations published its list of the top 100 sayings of 2002. It included this remark, which President Bush was supposed to have made to Tony Blair. The problem with the French is that they have no word for entrepreneur. After the list appeared, though, a spokesman for the prime minister denied that Bush had ever said anything of the sort. I believe that. The line really sounds too pat to be true, like a story the English would cook up to put in the mouth of an ignorant American. What makes the story plausible, though, is that you're always hearing people say this. The so-and-so people don't have a word for such-and-such, where the absence of the word is supposed to shed a telling light on a people's culture. At one time or another, I've heard it said that the French don't have a word for nice, that German doesn't have a word for fair play, and that Chinese doesn't have a word for privacy. Back in 1985, President Reagan asserted that the Russian language didn't have a word for freedom. Of course it does, svoboda, but Reagan was never one to let details get in the way of a good story. I saw another one of these the other day when a friend sent me a link to an article that had appeared a while ago in the Egyptian newspaper Al-Ahram, and which had been widely reprinted on the web. Its author was an Egyptian businessman and writer named Tariq Hegi, who claimed Arabic has no word for compromise. For the Arabs, he said, compromise is associated with submission and weakness, whereas the Anglo-Saxon nations value the ideas of compromise and a respect for the opinions of others. Now, I don't know Arabic, but that claim struck me as pretty bizarre on the face of things. Sometimes you can conclude that a people lacks a certain concept from the fact that they don't have a word for it, but that's usually because it's a notion they can live without. You're not surprised to learn that Tibetan doesn't have words for squeeze play or happy hour. But it's hard to imagine how any people could run a global civilization without having a way of talking about compromise, or for that matter, how they could manage their daily lives. I mean, where would that leave you? I wanted to spend our whole 2-week vacation at the beach, and my wife wanted to spend it in the mountains. So we had to get a divorce. I checked with a couple of Arabic linguists who confirmed that Arabic has several items that translate the English word compromise. I'm not sure why Hegi would think Arabs didn't have the notion, but probably it's because the most common way to speak of compromise in Arabic is to use a phrase rather than a single word. You say, we reached a middle ground. But then we do the same thing when we talk about a meeting of the minds or meeting someone halfway. The fact is that people have plenty of concepts that their language doesn't give them a single word for. Take the German word Schadenfreude, which denotes the pleasure we take in the misfortunes of others. I'll grant you it's a nice item to have handy in a prepackaged form. But that doesn't mean that Red Sox fans have to learn German before they can enjoy watching the Yankees lose 8 straight at home. Still, people keep pointing to these gaps in the dictionary as if they had a profound cultural significance. More often than not, it's just a way of dressing an old racial stereotype in a new kind of cognitive garb. The fact is that Westerners have always attributed an unwillingness to compromise to the Arabs and the other Semitic peoples. According to T.E. Lawrence of Arabia fame, the Semites have no halftones in their register of vision. And after the failure of the British government's 1948 partition plan for Palestine, the English historian Elizabeth Monroe explained the breakdown by saying that the British were full of the capacity for compromise and couldn't understand that they were dealing with two peoples of the most uncompromising race in the world. The only difference is that back then nobody felt the need to say that the Jews and the Arabs lacked a word for compromise. They just assumed that obstinacy was bred in the Semitic bone. But then you could make the same point about us Anglophones if you were of a mind to. For example, we tend to use uncompromising as a morally complimentary term nowadays. She's an uncompromising perfectionist. Why is that necessarily a good thing? And we only use the adjective compromised with a negative meaning. The ambassador was too compromised to serve as an intermediary. But language doesn't just give us the names of concepts, but ways of seeing them in different lights. Someone who strikes us as uncompromising on Monday can come to seem inflexible or obstinate by the end of the week, once we start to see the need of cutting a deal. If the players really want to find a compromise in the Middle East, they'll find the words for it.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the author of The Way We Talk Now.